Well, we needed a better day in the agriculture markets on Tuesday, and thankfully we did get one. Two hallmark moves on the upside that we desperately needed was in the hard red wheat and in the feeder cattle complex. Both of those contracts, Dease hard red, Jan feeders, were able to take out Monday's highs, and that says technically, to me at least, that we have negated what happened on Monday as long as we see follow-through to the upside tomorrow. Doesn't have to be a lot of follow-through, but see follow-through nonetheless. Soft red wheat was an interesting part of the equation. Hard red took out its lows from Monday, and as I said, went up then and took out its highs from Monday, so an outside weaker, a higher, I should say, moved to the upside. Soft red didn't take out its lows from Monday, but nonetheless, it wasn't able to take out its highs from Monday either, struggling to stay above 545. 540 was what we needed. We got that. I'd really like to see a 545 plus close in soft red wheat tomorrow, led by the European complex, especially given, you know, we just completely washed over the idea of what was going on in the Black Sea with the weather. They're calling it over in the European papers that I subscribe to, the storm of the century in the Black Sea, with millions without power, ports shut down, a lot of destruction. So this is where today, coming into the Tuesday trade, the wheat-soybean ratio was at a six-year low. And it's important now, I'm going to do a little bit of a transition here. It's really important now, since we've been able to back away from fearing the Chinese demand side of the equation that was overwhelming our markets Monday. How do I know that? Well, wheat was able to rally, hard red especially, even after better crop conditions. And more importantly, the soybeans and hogs were able to rally, both of them showing that pork and bean trade. And so what I'm trying to get at here is we're back to a point with the soybeans at a six-year high against the wheat in terms of the ratio. When you divide the two lead month futures into one another, we're at a point now where the soybeans need the wheat and need the corn again. That rubber band, I think, has been stretched now at this stage, where the soybeans, we need a close above 1350, technically speaking, because that gets us above the 20-week moving average. That opens us back up to retesting the old highs that we just came off of before Thanksgiving. And that's really what I want to focus in on very, very crucially now, especially given that the corn managed money net short is over 185,000 negative. That's a 40-month high in net short position for the managed money futures and options. Soft red wheat managed money net short is over 108,000 contracts, futures, and options. That is a 6-month high. So can you get an idea of what I'm doing here with that idea of and trying to paint a analogy or a metaphor of the rubber band? We've stretched that rubber band to the short side enough in wheat and corn, and now they need to join up with the soybeans. We also saw some South American weather come in, drying out the northern parts of Brazil, keeping wet the southern parts. I sent that to you on the noon update as an attachment from a private forecaster that I buy. So be sure to take a look at that, because that matches up with the model maps that I'm looking at. And I think what we're also now seeing are private firms, South American firms like MB Agro, come in and cut their soybean production to 155 million metric tons, their second crop corn production to 90 million metric tons, and that compared to, I believe, 96 previously on the corn, excuse me, and I think they were over 160 previously on the, they were at 165, 10 million tons less than their earlier prediction in the soybean. So 155 soybeans, 90 million tons, second crop corn. That's real close to my updated numbers that I just put out today. I get a number on the Brazilian map on the noon update. So I'm at 156.5 for soybeans in Brazil, and I'm at a 120 million metric ton corn total crop, with the idea that, and this compares to USDA, I believe, is at 126 at this stage of the game. they're at 129 as of the November report. So I'm 9 million tons lower than USDA's November update. I'm using the Safrina second corn crop as 75% of the total production for Brazil. I will do another update on the 20th of December, right before Christmas, and I will take a look at the weather, the maps that I look at, the simulations that I look at as far as crop density and vegetation density, and make an assessment again in about a month before Christmas, because we really are going into a time period now between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Historically, it's going to be very hard to turn the crop around if it's not doing better starting right now heading into Christmas. So 74% of the soybeans are planted. That factored into my lowering of my number. That compares to 87% a year ago. I would say you're looking at significant replants in southern Brazil, because they're 100% planted in the southern parts of that country. But I think they're going to have to do pretty substantial replants at this point. Can they get that done? And that's a big question mark given their weather pattern. So we're now 13 points behind in plantings compared to a year ago on what was going to be tremendously big acreage increases for soybeans. And we're now at the slowest planting pace in soybeans in Brazil since 2015, 2016. The center south, which would be Mato Grosso in that area, first corn planting only went up 3% last week to 83%. That compares to 88% a year ago. Watching that very carefully as well. So that does it for the grain side of the equation. As for the livestock, I had talked about the cash discount to the futures. That especially noteworthy in the cattle, with a 169 cash futures trade yesterday versus 175, 177, maybe even 178 cash price before it's all said and done here in the not too distant future, in my view. But then the hogs came in today, as I said, with the pork and bean trade coming in. That was very, very needed. And you notice the feeder contract held up very nicely. Shorts covered very aggressively when we bounced off that $210 level. So that's a massive support line. If we could get another 15, 20 up in the feeders, we'll go back into hedges after pulling those yesterday. Otherwise, we do not want to see 210 violated on a closing basis, or we'll jump back into hedges right away. The other two things that I want to reiterate now is the idea of the deliveries and the cash markets as we head into the end of the week, with December futures on the grains now getting ready to go into first notice day. Also, we've got the OPEC meeting coming on. Between that and the Middle East becoming more tense again, we saw the crude oil turn around, and we also pushed down a new three-month low in the U.S. dollar as a result of some of this, as well as some Fed speak, which I'll get into tomorrow. Just wanted to get out an update to you today. Won't have any charts with today's update. Just wanted to get you out audio simplified commentary, and then we'll see what Wednesday brings us. As it's a very important day in kind of tiebreak, making us the tiebreaker and who wins Monday versus Tuesday. If you have any questions, give me a call, and please remember the risks involved in trading commodities. And thanks for listening.